Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, rises for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does.
Morning. Good to be here in the Lord's house. Last day of 2023. Looking forward to the coming year. Stand with me. We're going to be reading some scripture out of 1 Peter chapter number 5. We'll begin in verse number 1, read through verse number 11. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Let me read that again, parents. Yes. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God restraineth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, that's a great passage, isn't it? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we come to you today to thank you so much just to be here. It's already been a huge blessing to be a part of the service and just hearing the testimonies, God, singing praises to your name and the faith that we see today, the excitement, the peace of the spirit that we feel in your house today, God. We thank you so much for that. The ministry of the Christmas baskets and the families that were fed and the gifts that were given to those children, God, we're so thankful to be just a small part of that, God, and what a huge blessing that is, and to reach those folks, not only with the items and the necessities, God, but to reach them with that precious gospel. We pray that your word continues to go out through that ministry. Be with us today as we continue this service and we look in your scripture a little bit today. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Many times I fail you. Every day I fail you. God, I don't want to fail you right now. I pray that you preach to us. Preach to me. Give us what we need this morning from your word. Help prepare us, prepare hearts, prepare minds, our body, our soul for this coming year. If we make it through past midnight, we'll be entering into a brand new year. And our prayer, God, is that we'll not be like Scotty was saying. Yeah, we don't want to be those procrastinators. Help us to be diligent even right now in the things you've called us to do. Have your way. We love you, praise you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I'll go ahead and apologize too. We're all hacking and coughing and spitting up stuff, and we don't even know what it is. So, but we'll muddle through somehow. If you were here Wednesday night in the sanctuary class, you remember we talked about, I asked them as we opened up with some prayer requests, I said, what are some prayers that you have or a vision you have for 2024? So it's like, you know, like Scotty, we're looking ahead, you know, not necessarily procrastinating, but we're looking ahead to the year. What is your prayer for 2024? Several folks shared some great things, great insight and great, you know, thought you could tell had gone into it. And I did that to make a point because we were about 4 days away back this past Wednesday from New Year's. And I said, you know, the thing of it is, those are great things. It's good to think about those things, but that's literally 4 days away. And I said, now I'm going to throw a real encouraging question to you. What if you die before then? What if you don't make it to 2024? Nothing wrong with us being prepared and having a vision and having a mindset for the future. But what are we doing for the next 4 days and today? What are we doing today? Are we active today? Are we plugging in today? Are we getting a hold of today? Well, those of you that were here on Wednesday night, as far as I know, I think all of you have made it so far. Amen. Berlin was a little iffy over there. We're trying to get them kidney stones out of here. But we've made it this far, and we've got just a few more handful of hours left till we make it in 24. So let's just go ahead and just we're hoping and praying that we're gonna hang around today. If we hang around till tomorrow, what are some things we can be thinking about? What would be a prayer that we would pray? And you know, when you read this passage of scripture in Peter, when it opens up in chapter number 1, it's to the strangers that are scattered throughout the area, and it lists some cities and some areas. It's the Christians that are scattered out across the way. And so he wrote this letter to them. He said, I'm just writing it to all them Christians over there, all them churches that are founded over there. I want to encourage them a little bit. So he gives them some instructions. He gives them some insight, some words of wisdom. We know it all came from God, but it was penned by the hand of Peter. He wanted them to just know some things. He talked to the elders a little bit, talked to the younger people a little bit, gave us all a little bit of instruction in how to function in this new Christian life. But when we get down to chapter number 5, if we're not careful, we're going to miss a beautiful verse of scripture that he shares a personal prayer with four little gems that he prays for those people to have. And that's what I want to look at this morning, are those four things, because I think those are relevant to every new year. Those are relevant to every one of our lives. And I believe if we're going to pray a prayer for us, as individuals, as families, as a church, then these are the four things I believe we would all really, really, really want to have. So we're going to look at them. They're back in verse number 10. Let me read that verse again very quickly. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, notice what he says first. After you've suffered a while, we're going to look at that. Then he said, I want him to make you perfect, to be established, I want you to be strengthened, and I want you to be settled. Those are four gems that he prays for us. So the very first thing we'll look at is, he said, after you have suffered a while. Could he have left that out? Yes, he could have. But would he have been just in leaving it out? No, he wouldn't have been just in leaving it out, because we need to understand that we have to go through trials. You have to. It's not a choice. We know that we pray and we ask God to limit us from temptation, to keep temptation away from us. But trials and tribulation that hits our life is different than temptation. We can pray every day and pray as much as you can. God, keep me away from temptation. Help me to resist temptation. Keep me away from it. But we need to understand that trials are a natural part of our life. What he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 in the same letter, verse number 12 and 13 in chapter number 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Tribulation is important to our growth. If we could choose, obviously we would all say, I don't want to go through tribulation. I don't want to have to suffer through pain and anguish. I don't want to have to suffer the death of a loved one. I don't want to have to go through the trials of just being in existence with a family. I don't want to have problems at work. I don't want to have to deal with problems. If we could choose to, we would say, I don't want to have to do that. But if we had zero tribulation in our life, do you know how much faith we would have? Zero. Amen. You'd have zero faith. Amen. Because without us enduring through trials, we don't even know what faith is all about. We don't understand it. So trials are important. And you ever think too, though, why in the world is the world so unfair to me? Why does everything happen to me? Everything happened to us. You know, and I kind of thought that a little bit through the holidays this year. With us and our kids and all of our grandkids, we literally just took turnabout getting sick. One sick, one gets better. Next sick. And it's like we didn't have a day through the entire holiday that, you know, more than a couple were healthy at the same time. So why in the world is this happening at Christmas time? You know, and we can get aggravated about even silly stuff like that. But if we really think about it, where do we live? We're not in the Garden of Eden.
That's right. Amen.
We're not in heaven. Where are we at? We're on this earth. What is this called? His domain. He is the prince and the power of the air. Not Christ, but Satan has been allowed to have a dominion here. We are on his court playing against him, and we are always going to be the underdog. It's not fair. We shouldn't expect it to be fair. We shouldn't expect this world to be fair and just to us. Why? Because it's a world that's filled with sin. It's a world that's filled with ungodliness and blasphemy. So we should, as Christians, especially grab hold of that truth and understand it, that we live in a world filled with sin, and it's not going to be fair to us, nor should we expect it to be fair to us. It's like if we have a very aggressive dog that we know is a very aggressive dog, we know that it's bit multiple people, and we go over to it and we stick our fingers out to it and it bites us, and we say, "How dare that dog bite me?" Amen. Well, you know what people would call you? You'd call you an idiot. To think that a dog is not going to bite you, that's an aggressive dog. Well, I think we would kind of be a little bit idiotic for us to think that we're living in a world filled with sin and expect this world to be fair to us. It's not going to be fair to us. Christians, it's not going to be fair to anybody, but it's for sure not going to be fair to Christians. It's for sure not going to be just to Christians. It's for sure not going to look out for you, because this world hates you, cares not for you. Satan despises you. He hates you with all that he is. And you know what? He hates you more because you're saved. He hates you more because you're going to spend eternity with Christ and he's not. He hates you for that. And because he can't take your salvation away from you, because it's not held by you, it's held by the blood of Christ. And that's something, oh, praise the Lord, that can't be broken. Seal of the Holy Spirit, eternal seal. He knows that he can't take away your salvation. So what he wants to do is he wants to ruin your credibility. He wants to ruin your witness and your testimony. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy the life you have and the life that you live until you go to be with Jesus. Makes him hate you that much more. So in a sense, the closer we get to Christ, the more he is disgusted by us, right? So don't expect this world to be fair. Understand that trials, tribulations are going to be a part of our life. But know that going in, don't be surprised as though some strange thing has happened to us, is what Peter said. So, but after you've suffered a while, I'm glad that it said a while instead of saying until you, once you've suffered your entire life, then you can, woo, praise the Lord. I'm glad he put a while. That word means briefly or for a season. So he's saying, yeah, there are going to be breaks in the trials. I know sometimes you wonder, don't you? Have you ever wondered when one thing comes, and number two, and number three, and number five, and number 15, where's the break? But we eventually get a break, don't we? We get a break. We're able to catch our breath. You know, we're, as my brother preached a message about the storm, we're in one of three places. We're either going in a storm, we're in the storm, or we're coming out of the storm on the other side. But eventually a storm's coming back around again. But we do get a break. So it's good that he said after you've suffered a while or you've suffered briefly. Then he said, understanding the concept of tribulation and understanding its importance in our life, these are the four gems that I pray for you. And number one is for perfection. He's praying for perfection for those believers, those strangers, just as though he would be praying for perfection for us today. Are we going to be able to achieve perfection while we're here on this earth? I'm going to answer it for you. No, not down here. We're not perfect. Why? Because we still live in a sinful flesh. We're still tainted. This flesh is tainted. Yes, we have that soul. We have that spirit that is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that is cleansed and purified by the washing of the Word of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is pure and it is whole and it is without spot and without blemish. But it is encased in this carnal mind, carnality in this fleshly body that we wrestle, as Paul said, the things I want to do, I'm not doing, the things I don't want to do, the things I end up doing. So there's that constant struggle. So yes, we're in this fleshly body, but it's still not wrong for Peter to pray for perfection, because what he wants us to do is he wants us to strive for perfection. 1 Peter 1 verses 6 and 7 say this: wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, I want you to strive toward perfection. My prayer is that you will be somebody who will be affected positively by the trials and tribulations in your life. That they won't destroy you, they won't kill you, that you'll come out on the other end better. With every trial you face, with every difficulty you face as a person, as a family, as a church, with whatever comes down the pike, each one of us, we may be affected by the same trial, by the same tribulation, but each one of us has our own personal choice to make as to how we respond to that trial. Amen. Collectively, we could say, well, it could be a percentage in how we respond to a trial if it's a group of people, like a church or a family perhaps. But nobody chooses how you react and you respond to a trial in your life, but you, nobody else. Nobody else can get credit for choosing the right path in responding to a trial, nor can nobody else be blamed when we choose the wrong path in how we respond to a trial. You choose how you respond to that trial. And we decide, is that going to make me a better person, or am I going to crumble under this tribulation? Am I going to let this consume me, and am I going to become physically, mentally, spiritually exhausted and drained because of what I'm facing in my life? Am I going to be better on the other end? Amen. You know, God will test us, won't he? God will not tempt us, because that's Satan's job. Satan tempts, God tests. And you think, why in the world does God test? Why do you think you get tested in school? See if you've advanced. See if you've grown. See if you know anything. I mean, if we were not quizzed periodically, or if we weren't challenged in what we're supposed to know, we wouldn't know if we know it or not. We wouldn't understand fully if we've grown any in what we know, if we're never able to apply it to our lives. We never really know how close we are to Christ until tragedy hits. Then you come out. Then you see exactly who you are and where you're at with Christ. We don't need to live in some la-la land just thinking everything's cupcakes and rainbows and everything's going to be wonderful. It will be when we get to heaven, but until then, we're in a rough place. What we need to do is hang on to the hem of Jesus and trust and believe in him during these trials and know that whatever it is that I'm facing, I am not facing it alone, that he is with me, his spirit lives within me, he's abiding in me, and I'm trying to abide in him, and we're going to get through this somehow. Because God does know everything that you're facing. So don't think that you're by yourself. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Know that if we are faithful to him and we're trusting in him, then what's happening in these trials is we're striving toward perfection and we're gaining faith with every step of the way. How could David stand against Goliath if he hadn't first off faced the lion and the bear and he saw the faithfulness of God in dropping them? Then he said, well, hey, you know something? That giant is no different than the lion or the bear that I faced. It's just an enemy, and God can handle every enemy. That's where we've got to get. We've got to let the trials that will challenge our life cause us to dig in deeper in our relationship to Christ and pray more and read more. Then we're going to see ourselves grow and flourish in our relationship with Christ. The second one. He said, I want you to be established or established. Established here means to be steadfast or to be set, to be locked in, right? To not be unmovable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I love this. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's praying, Peter is. I want you guys to be established, to be steadfast, to be set, to be unshakable, to be unmovable. So how do we do that? We do that by believing in Him, by trusting in Him, by holding on to what we know to be true and not being swept away by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. Daniel prayed, didn't he, three times a day, looking through his window down toward Jerusalem. They made a decree and said, you can't pray or seek counsel of anybody. So what did Daniel do? He had a choice to make, didn't he? He said, goodness gracious, you know what I better do? I better go pray about this. Why sometimes are we reluctant to hold on to the things we know to be true when we're challenged by authority, the government, somebody we respect, even and admire, somebody we hold in high regard because they may challenge what we believe to be true, will be swayed because of who it is that's sharing that word of insight and because of how they perhaps might influence us. Well, one reason that we're swept away sometimes is because we're spiritually immature. But I understand that happens to all of us, right? We got to be born spiritually. We got to learn to cry and crawl and then eventually walk and run and never stop. So we understand there is a growth process. But someone that's been saved for 50-something years like myself should know how to walk pretty good spiritually. And if I don't, it's my own fault. We must grow up. And I should know what I believe by now. I should have these truths and these basic principles of Christianity in my life. And I know what you're saying. You're thinking, well, you better. You're the pastor. It's for anybody. Yeah, if you've been saved a number of years and you're not growing spiritually, it's your own fault. Amen? We need to know what we believe, and we need to know why we believe what we believe. Don't believe it just because somebody told you. Don't believe it just because the preacher you grew up with preached it. Don't believe it because mama or daddy one told you that's what you need to believe. I have, over the course of my almost 30 years of ministry, I have challenged some things I was taught as a youngster. Yeah, amen. A couple of them, I've changed my belief system on it because I found the scripture didn't line up with what I had been taught. I'm not knocking people as much as I'm saying people at their best will still fail. I need to know what I believe and why I believe because I've dug in the Word of God and I prayed about it and God has inspired me with what I think about His Word. Now, I don't need to be so hard-headed to where somebody may share truth with me and us expound on the Word of God and find I'm wrong. I don't need to be so bullheaded to be afraid to do that. But the handful of things that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I believe in, it's going to be really hard for somebody to sway me, and that's where we need to be. He's saying that's what being established is. It's knowing what you believe, why you believe it, and standing on it. Even if you have to stand by yourself. Are you willing to stand by yourself? The third one, he said, I want you to be strengthened. Beautiful description of what that word strengthened means right here. You ready for it? It's a handful of words. Confirmed in spiritual knowledge and power. I like that, don't you? So to be strengthened, well, we're talking about working. When you work out, you know, and you feel good after you've had a good workout, right? Woo! Ah, feel good, you know. Go drink that big protein shake, you know, and you're good to go. You feel good after you've gone out and done a little something, exerted yourself a little bit, maybe take a walk through the neighborhood. You come back, I kind of feel good a little bit. You feel revived and strengthened. That's kind of what he's talking about in a spiritual sense. But it means to be confirmed, to be solid, confirmed in spiritual knowledge and in spiritual understanding. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, I'm not able to accomplish anything within my own strength, but I can do it with the strength and the leadership of the Spirit of God. He does it through me. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Which I think that passage was in the bulletin today, was it not? How ironic. I didn't know it was going to be in there. God wants us to be strengthened, and so we build strength by daily, faithfully trusting in Him. If I want to be stronger tomorrow, then what do I have to do? I've got to exercise today. We want to be stronger in 2024. Well, hey, if you do them resolutions, baby, I'm praying for you. Woo, good luck with that. But you know, even if you work out for 3 weeks, that's better than a lot of us. Commit to three. Hey, let's take baby steps. Let's commit to January if you're going to. But if I want to be better tomorrow, I can't wait till I get up in the morning to decide to do that. Amen. I got to be better today. If I want tomorrow to be better, if I want my faith to increase over the next couple of months, then I've got to start choosing faithfulness today. It doesn't just happen. It's not a drive-through window. Faith is something that has to grow and mature every day of our life. That's why he said, if you will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I got to die today in order for me to be able to walk tomorrow. Then tomorrow I got to die again to be able to walk the next day. We've got to die every day of our life for Christ to be increased within us. And that strength is going to grow and grow and grow. If the Lord had spoke to me and said, when he first started calling me to preach, that he's going to put me with such an amazing group of people and be pastor of Richlands Cove Baptist Church. We're going to build a new facility. We're going to develop some amazing ministries. We're going to start a building program for a new building and a school over here. We're going to have all these things going. I would have been scared to death. I'm still scared right now, and I know what's going on. I would have been terrified. Why? Because I wasn't ready for it. God couldn't tell me everything when he was trying to call me to preach. He's like, I'm not going to overload you, son, because you'll explode, but I'm going to tell you. Right now, I just want you to preach baby steps. Then as we go a little bit further, I build a little bit of faith. He starts showing me more things he wants me to do. God works with us, but we've got to let each day be a step in that positive direction, our growth with him. The fourth one and the last one, which I think is crucial to everything else, is he said, I want you to be settled. If I'm not mistaken, and I tried my best to look it up this week, I think the word settled is in the Bible in other passages, but just a handful. This is the only passage where settled means what this one means. It means this, to be erect, to be upright. And basically what he's saying is to be like a tower standing firm on a solid foundation. So that's what he's saying. I want you to be settled. You know, I want you to be so locked into where you're at that, well, again, you're going to have that establishment, not going to be moved, but I want you to make sure you're standing on the right thing. Are you building on the right thing? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's his prayer for us, is that we would not be confounded because we're settled on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Today, are you set and building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you know that you know you're saved? I hope and pray that you do. Do you have fears, doubts? Are you unsettled about that? Are you unsure about that? Listen, don't hope you're going to heaven. Hope will send you to hell. Confidence and assurance in the blood of Jesus Christ, believing in Him as Lord and Savior, is what guarantees us to be part of the family of God. So my prayer for you today, my prayer is the same prayer that we swipe from Peter, are for all of these things to culminate within our lives over this coming year. We all need those things, don't we? We need to be perfect. We need to be established. We need to be strengthened, and we need to be settled, and that's His prayer for us. That's my prayer for us today. If you're struggling in any of those areas today, let's get on this altar this morning. Let's pray. Let's get our hearts right with God. Most importantly, let's make sure we know that we know that we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If He's not, what a day to get saved. Wonderful day to get saved. Stand with us as we begin our invitation.